Welcome to Light Being Found. My love Jason was in the U.S. Army. 20 days after I found him, I started documenting my journey through video and audio recordings. Join me as I share my journey as a suicide loss survivor, from struggling to find the light to light being found. Hello, loves. Thank you for joining me today. We are on season one, episode four. And in today's episode, I actually have my first video where I sit down at the computer and start recording. I think the first and second video that were shown in episode three, I'm with my phone and I'm like, I have to record this. This is so wild. I have to start recording this. And then you could see in the second video, I'm like, I'm going to start doing this regularly. And then in this third video where I sit down at my computer, I'm just getting into the beginning of it. So you'll see that I say what the date is. I think it's June 2nd. And that'll be something that will be common in my videos. Sometimes I might edit them to where you don't see that part, but in a lot of the videos, I know the very first thing that I say is the date. And the reason why I'm saying the date is because I felt it was so important for me and wanting to see other people on this journey that I could understand where they were at in their grieving process and also where they were at relative to time. So I remember one of the things I was saying is I wonder when I will stop crying. What are other people going through? Are you just crying and crying for months as well? Just all day, just crying? And again, it's not to compare. It's to process, what does this look like? And obviously different for everyone. We're all so very unique in our own beautiful journeys of life and our own experiences. And those all surround and are a big part of how we navigate our grieving journeys, no matter what it is that we're going through when we're grieving or how we do this dance in life. Our experiences and how we've danced with those throughout life play into how we would also respond or react and process our different emotions. So I will be sharing the date with you. The date that I found him was May 10th, just to keep that relative when you're hearing the date of videos. If you are similar to me and you're wanting to know, okay, it's been 21, 22 days since she found him. All right, this is what she was going through. If not, that's okay too. Totally. I'm just sharing it for the people that are really wanting to understand the timing. And then in addition to that, you can see in the video that my ability to function is just not there. I want to share again, when I'm sharing videos that I took right after his departure, pretty closely after post-loss, I'm not going to be editing those videos for the most part. If there's really long pauses or some personal comments in there that have to do with my loved ones that I maybe want to take out of the video or whatever, I'll be doing some of those edits, or if there's really a lot of background noise. I do want to share that again. So if you do have the ability to tune into the podcast on a video platform, you'll be able to find it on YouTube at Light Being Found. Is where you'll find the Suicide Loss Survivor Documented Journey podcast there, and then also available on Spotify as well. In this video, I got a card. It's so surprising to me that this is my first sit-down video that I'm recording, because in different ways over the years, I recall getting these cards at different times of my journey. Even though in my head I had it as 3 weeks, I was thinking it must have been 3 weeks from when I started recording, not 3 weeks from when I found him. But it's actually 3 weeks from when I found him. So to sit down and begin to watch this first video that I recorded at a desk, which was me getting this card from the stranger. I was like, oh wow, it's my first video. Holy smokes. So in clearing out a lot of different items and giving away different items, one of the items I gave away was one of our TVs. And a lady had came to pick up the TV and she knew something was not right. So she asked me if I was okay, like what was wrong. And I remember I said to her, like, I'm not so sure you'd want to hear it. I don't know about sharing this with you. She was like, oh no, I'll be fine. I'll be fine. But it's interesting to me that even at that point in my mind, I was cognizant of how heavy this could be to share with someone who is not in my immediate circle, and that it might just be like, why is she sharing this with me? Or like, whew, this is kind of heavy for you to be sharing this with me, lady. I just met you. And so I found that kind of interesting that I'm in my darkest times and I'm like, oh, I'm not sure, this might be too heavy for you. But so that opened up our friendship, and I shared with her what I was experiencing and going through. And she signed me up for a group that she is part of called the Rodmacher Project. And it is a group of individuals that have experienced just like deep, profound loss. And they want to give back to their communities in the form of being able to just send a card with some loving, touching words to others that are going through these deep losses of all sorts. And that's what prompted me getting this card from this stranger in the mail. So here is that video. So today is Monday, June 1st. It's been almost a month. It's been 3 weeks and a day since I found him. And I checked the mail today and I got a letter from the Rodmacher Project. Florida. It says why. That's what we ask. The truth is, we may never be able to know for sure why. So this is the front of the card. Inside it says, "Dear Tasha," with my name spelled with the O, which people always get wrong when they don't know me. But we do know that there is no single should have done or could have done or did or didn't do that would have changed that why. All that love could do was done. With the deepest sympathy. And then she writes in handwriting. And compassion for your unimaginable, heart-wrenching loss. I'm praying for your peace and comfort and whatever you need. And part of it, that's crazy,
is that it's so heart-wrenching. It's like, it's so painful. Then there's a little card that says, breathe, and a little poem, and then a piece of paper about what the project program is about. Well, anyways, I have to say it was so comforting to get that card. And that I could have never imagined that I would have this many emotions. And be this out of control of myself. And like I see a lot now. I was looking at differently before. There are so many things that are so messed up and so ironic. Two people that I know recently passed away. Like, they come in threes and always like, shush up. You said that before, like when some other bad stuff has been happening. I don't know why, I don't remember, but I'm like, be quiet. Don't say that. But he is the third for me. And that's pretty messed up. And I want to understand, like, did he know that he was referring to himself? So there's a timeline and pattern that I'm gonna go through to try to understand when he was suicidal and when the depression progressed. Anyways, I'm gonna start just turning on the record and recording once today, whatever I have to say. I think that a lot of things are happening internally, and I'm wanting to capture them so I can understand this process and see it. I've been wanting to film ever since the beginning of this, but there was no way that I could. They were fleeting thoughts. Like, daily I'd be like, I should be filming this. And then I would just go into some other crazy place. So I'm gonna start talking to this every day and see what happens. I was having a breakdown right then because I got that card and read it. And a lot of people want to understand, like, what do you do in this situation? But what's so crazy is that a functionality part of me is not available right now, and I'm just going through the motions. Right, I'm going to sign off now.
All right, so something that I mentioned too in that video is just the need to record, which has been it's an echo. There's an echo. I keep saying it. And I remember my very first night, I actually called my best friend immediately. It was my first phone call in the doorway. saying Jason took his life. I'm not okay. I need you to be with me tonight. And she came and stayed the night with me, and I slept an hour and a half that night. And when I woke up to snoring. She snores. Yeah. Whew, quite a memory in my mind for me, because Jason, he'll snore. It's a really gentle snore, and I'll always nudge him all the time. Like I'll do this little elbow or a little like kicking his feet a little bit to get him to stop, and he'll always like wake up and look at me like, "Woman," and I'm like, "You're snoring." And so the night that I found him, I had just been sobbing all night. And when I did sleep, I slept for an hour and a half. And when I woke up to snoring, and I immediately went to nudge him, and it was not him. And then my breath was taken. I just was in, oh, it, I felt like I got sucker punched in that moment. But anyways, the following few days after that, my little man came and stayed with me, and I think it was a really different dynamic for our relationship, to go from getting to parent him to he at this time he was 18, and for him to come and spend a few days with me, he saw me just completely out of control. I'm a very organized individual. Control is very important to me. I'm very thoughtful in the way I maneuver and what I say and what I do. It's very intentional. And I had none of that was capable to be inside of me in these days that he spent with me. So I'm sure for me, in a lot of ways, it was humbling, because I was at the rawest I could have ever been in my life, and 1000% not okay. And I really felt like there was just like this never ending circle. I just remember sitting on the couch. It felt like I was just sitting on the couch with him the whole time, and he was just, listening to me, just holding beautiful space for me. And I would be sharing what I was feeling and thinking, and then I would think of something differently than I had previously thought of it before. And then it triggered that whole cross-examination thing where I needed to go over every single different detail and part of whatever story narrative I was on to try to make sense of it in a different way. Super arduous. Super arduous way of processing. I think ultimately that served me, but being in it without the ability to turn it on or off or move forward or behind was just like this never ending loop that just took all of this work and emotion, because it was almost like I was a detective in a way. And I was like, oh wait, like how does that plug into the equation now? And Woo, geez. But so he was watching me go through and do all that. And I know I said to him countless times, because my mind was absolutely blown at what I was going through, what I was feeling, what I was thinking, what I was experiencing, especially with having a background in human behavior, that I was just absolutely blown. And I kept saying to him, like, this has to be recorded. Like, someone needs to record this. Hint, hint, hint. Hello, record me. But he wasn't taking any of those hints. And then for me, in my head, I had a vision of getting my really nice camera out and like putting it on the tripod and pressing record. I didn't get to the place of like, just talk, get out your phone and talk. So that obviously took me a while, 3 weeks before I was like, I gotta record this. Like, this is bananas. And then it just had me right here to the computer, just start talking. So, yes. So I mentioned that in the video as well. When I said that things happen in three, I've had a lot of time to process that comment since, And when he said that comment to me, because he said it before in previous scenarios and situations, I have concluded for myself that no, it was not him intentionally saying, like, I'm the third. But at the time when I made that recording, I did definitely, that was something plausible. Like, did he know? But I definitely do not think that he did. And I do think that he was in different states of depression and not being in love with himself and really wondering through and working through, like, what is my purpose? Like, how am I in service? There's nothing that I'm doing that is fulfilling my soul right now, amongst other things. And that this occurrence was just like a depth of where he was, obviously well thought out, and where he's like, all right, I'm gonna leave. But it happened in those moments of being and feeling in despair, which he would not be in that state of mind necessarily to say, well, we're just having a conversation. That's a different energy and interaction and frequency that he's at in, like, our just conversing about day-to-day stuff or life or getting to spend time with one another, different. So that is my thoughts to share with you on that. And then for today's story, again, some more pictures, super cute pictures of him as a little kid for the first page. And then the second page is some more pictures with a little bit of written stuff. So I will pull that up for you right now. All right, so here is the first page. He's so super cute in this picture all the way to the left, like, so cute. All right, and here is the second page. So handsome. In these photos to the left, the page I just showed, he's sporting his least favorite color and a fanny pack, looking adorable and goofy at the same time. It's family photo time in the lower right. The baby pic, I swear he must be farting. The other two are both of him in his early 20s. Man, the baby picture, I would just totally crack up in sharing with him. Whenever I saw it, I was like, man, you totally have to be farting. That is so, what's going on here? Man, just cracked me up. All right, and here is today's quote. Grief never ends, dot, dot, dot. But it changes. It's a passage, not a place to stay. Grief is not a sign of weakness nor lack of faith. Dot, dot, dot. It is the price of love. And I think that this is a great reminder for me when I first came across this quote, is that I kept feeling like a few different things. One of the things was, when is this going to be over? Like, when am I going to stop feeling this? And then the other thing was, like, this is a spectrum, and I'm just at the very beginning, surface scratching of this part of my journey, because this grieving is going to be, for me, mirroring the love. And so, like, the depth and dynamics and unfolding and understanding and processing and falling down, countless fall downs, that I'm just at the very beginning of this. And although when I kept reflecting on that, I was like, okay, just a few more weeks. And then every time I was like, oh, okay, just a few more weeks. I don't even know how long I kept doing that, well over till probably like a year and a half into it, where I was like, okay, however this unfolds. It took a long time before I didn't have an expectation of how this was supposed to unfold. And I remember when I first started going to group, I saw other people there, like, even 5 years into their loss, and for them to share their story and how sad they were. I remember looking at them and being like, oh no, That is not going to be me. 5 years. Like, what have you been doing these 5 years? How are you sitting here with me? And you're so emotional too. Like, oh, I don't want to be there in 5 years. I remember feeling that so deeply. And it also came with a bit of judgment, obviously, from a place that I completely could not fathom or understand, where I was like, oh, if I am in that place, that equates that I haven't healed, which is not the case at all. 'Cause like the quote says, it's a passage, not a place to stay. With that being said, it is a journey of healing that never ends. It is constantly in fruition and in play, and I'm constantly learning and gaining compassion for myself and for this journey and loving myself and growing through it. But it's the way that my life dances now is that the grief is just an automatic part of it. And initially, I was trying to get away from the grief. Like, okay, I've done these steps, I've done this. Like, when is this going to be over? Like, when can I get back to life? Like, there is no getting back to life as I knew it. There is new life, which is way more beautiful than life was. I know that sounds crazy. I am, my soul is so much more richer in the journey that I've trekked. And this quote, when I had kind of come across it, was comforting in the way where it didn't put a timeline on it, and it just reinforced that I loved so profoundly deep, that this is going to be a trek. This grieving journey is going to be arduous. Yeah. So wanted to share that. And then also, in addition to TAPS, which I shared on the last episode, which is the Tragedy Assistant Program for survivors for the military. If you are a military member, I know Jason had lost some people and he was just so saddened by their departures, that TAPS would be able to help out as well too. But it's a tragedy assistant program for survivors. So if you've lost a loved one that's a military member, TAPS is really a great resource. But another resource that I found to be very invaluable for me in my healing and being able to feel like the tongues that I'm speaking as a suicide loss survivor, military suicide partner loss, that someone could understand what in the world I was saying, feeling, thinking, going through, experiencing. Because as I had showed, that I had the card, like, it was 3 weeks. My loved ones were where they were. I don't know where they were. I don't know where they were. You know, like the first week, yeah, the first 2 weeks, okay. Even like the first 2.5, 3 weeks, like, I'm getting like maybe a weekly touch at the 3 week mark. But when I was in this place that was so incredibly dark, like, I needed like check on me multiple times a day. Like, just let me know you're loving me, you're thinking of me. Like, it's okay if you talk about Jason. Please talk about Jason. I miss him immensely. I want to hear anything. No, I'm going to be a sobbing, crying mess regardless. Be comfortable with that. You know, I didn't have the ability to share or say any of that while I was in the process. And then I also am a person too that I get stuff done on my own. I've learned a lot along the years, but I'm not really the person that would like call and say I need help. Like, I don't know what the help looks like. That was another thing. I didn't know what the help looked like. I didn't even know what to say. I was just like, I knew that I wasn't okay. That was literally what I knew. I'm not okay. The next steps, elusive. Had no clue where to go from there, other than I am not okay. I'm not okay. And so I really felt so alone when I got this first card. Was pretty wild. So the Facebook groups, when I got a little bit of my scruples, and I was able to actually sit down and do a search. That took a while. I'm not sure how long it took for me to find groups, but it took a while for sure. I felt almost illiterate, like, what am I searching for? And then, like, off into cry zone land, I would go. It, like, everything was fleeting, but in complete devastation. There wasn't, like I said, there wasn't an ability to go forward or backwards. Like, I was literally in the moment at all times. And the moment was chaotic and emotional and just, so heavy. So, some of the Facebook groups really gave me so much comfort. I remember just being in my bed late at night, just sobbing, and I'm like, let me look at a group. And then I would go and read some of the posts, and I would get to hear and see that people would be sharing pictures of what other people were going through or what their losses were or what they were feeling or experiencing. And then also to be able to read the comments too, it was so comforting in so many ways. So my community, for me, it definitely was not my circle. Was not my circle. Love you guys. Was not my circle. It was going to the bi-weekly suicide loss survivor group for partners, and then also going to these Facebook groups. So depending where you're at in your journey, this might be a resource for you or not, but I'm going to share some of the groups that I really liked a lot. Suicide Survivors Loss and Support, Suicide Grief Support, Suicide Loss of a Loved One, Suicide Loss Survivor Grief Support Group, lots of different variations, and then Survivors of Suicide Loss. These are the main ones that I felt like were pretty active. I was in the first few, even though I was part of most of these. The more that a group has, the more activity is happening, and the more I felt connected to others by just the sheer amount that people were sharing or commenting. Yeah. But another one that I really appreciated was Hope After Suicide Loss dash Spouse Partner Loss. I found that really comforting because it was sharing people sh sharing their stories specifically about partner loss. And that was what I felt like I identified with because I lost my partner. So I will have these links below in the show notes for you to click on and find if you feel like that might be something that you want to do. And if anything about today's podcast resonated with you, brought any emotions up in or for you, anything in addition to the story or the quote, and you would like to share with me, please share down below in the comments the video versions of the podcast. A suicide loss survivor documented journey is on YouTube at Light Being Found, and then you can also find me on Spotify as well if you'd like to watch the video version. And then wherever you are in your journey, I'm giving you these big, massive JAM hugs. I'm sending you so much love and light and healing on your journey. Be gentle with yourself. Until next time, take good care. Oh, and if you want, subscribe, and upcoming episodes will be in your inbox. All right. Thank you for joining me today.